once we open the new building and life comes back to something like normal, as much as my life ever is normal, which isn't very often. But that I wanted to start preaching again twice a month on the life of David. And there's so much in the life of David, in both the Psalms and the historical narratives about David, that just inspires and helps us. So I didn't have much notice to prepare something, so I went into my archives and dug out one that was still fresh and alive, and it's Psalm 57. I mentioned it last week, and it's a similar message to last week, but we'll just read the psalm, and then we'll get going with what I've got to say. Jez, do you want to put it up? I'm going to read from that screen because I haven't got my other... it's not on my notes. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. This is a great psalm. It's written at the same historical time that we were speaking of last week. I won't go into all the details, but just for those of you that weren't there last time, it's written at the time in David's life where he'd been, first of all, taken out of obscurity. He was an obscure shepherd boy, and the prophet Samuel had come and anointed him and said, "You're going to be the next king." He'd then gone and he'd slain Goliath and suddenly come to notoriety, become a famous person. And Saul, the king, took him into his courts. And he started leading Saul's army on different campaigns. But then Saul became very jealous. And he wanted him dead, because he thought that the people, their heart was admiring David more than him. And he thought that maybe this man will take my position. And so he tried to kill him. And he drove him out from his wife, his family, his house, out into the wilderness. And he went after him with his whole army to try and catch him. You probably remember that I said last week, if you feel you've got a stressful life, if you think your situation is stressful, imagine being in David's shoes, where the whole army of thousands of people are looking for you to kill you. That would be a pretty bad day, wouldn't it? And that's how it was with David in this psalm. He writes, I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. We much prefer to live in green pastures and to lie beside still waters. We'd choose that, wouldn't we, every time? No worry, no stress. Peace, comfort. But as I was saying last week, you know, being a Christian doesn't guarantee that you will have no trouble. In fact, sometimes when you're a Christian, you actually have more trouble because of the world that we live in, because of persecution or opposition or spiritual pressure. How we handle that pressure and those troubles is the key to whether we have a happy, peace-filled, successful, victorious life, or whether we constantly live in defeat, whether we live in anxiety. And David, in this most extreme situation, he lived in peace. He lived in worship. And like we did last week, we'll look into the psalm and we'll find some keys that we can apply in our situation to help us in our situation live in that same peace and victory. Last week I talked a lot about living under the shadow of his wings. That's a phrase that was first coined by David. He was the first one in the Bible to use this phrase that features even Jesus used the phrase himself in his ministry. David says here, "I will take refuge under the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." When you're under the shadow of God's wings, I had a lovely picture of the little chick nestling under its mother chick's wing. But when you're close to God, when you're wrapped in that peace of his presence, there can be no disaster. Outside there may be a storm. Under his wing there's always peace and security. Outside there could be enemies, war, sickness, famine, confusion, conflict. Under his wings there's always perfect peace. You can relax because everything is under control of God. Psalm 91 is one of my favourite psalms. It says this, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." There's two words there about dwelling and resting. Many people, they visit the shelter of God. You know, when we have trouble, we run into a place, we're so desperate, we start praying and praying. Or when we come to church, we feel something, we feel close to God, whatever. We visit that place of being under God's wings. But the psalm says, the one who dwells there, you can learn to live close to God. In that place where his presence is always with you. And it's the one who dwells who will rest. Do you know, in the most extreme situation, you can have rest. And I just want to share a testimony of, you know, some of the things we've been going through. I don't think any of my building colleagues are here this morning. But the last few weeks have been exciting. We've, you know, been pushing the deadline. We set the deadline. Whatever deadline you set, it's always going to be a push to get it. But, you know, I don't spend the rest of my life building a building. So you've got to have a deadline. And we set the date that Mayor is going to come at this time. And it was always going to be tight to make it. But it's amazing how God has sent helpers. You know, I said earlier, this lady, Bridget, she's almost 80 years old. You know, she's come every day from home on Spalding Moor, 45 minutes driving. And she's come 9 in the morning. Sometimes she's been here 6 at night or even later. Every day, painting, cleaning. Without her, we wouldn't have made it. But as we got nearer, you know, the crises get bigger. The building inspector came and he said, "Oh, that's wrong. This is wrong. You've got to change this, this, this." The whole front of the building had to come off this week to put a new door in, you know, which meant we had to rebuild the whole timber structure on the front of the building. And, you know, times like this, the pressure mounts. There's not so many helpers. There's more to do. And then at the same time, we just run out of money completely. You know, in all the accounts, we were less than £1,000, and it looked like none of the staff were going to get wages. What do you do when it's like that? And, you know, I'm a bit of an old veteran. I've been going for so many years in so many different countries and situations. I know that when you step into a new chapter for God, just before that transitional stage when you make the step, there's always a storm. And you can see that throughout the Bible, that when there's a new moment of history, a new man of God or a new move of God, there's a major storm that comes just before. So in one way, I wasn't surprised, and I've been through it so many times, you know. But so we had no money, we had too much work to do, we had not enough helpers. And then it started to get even crazy. You know, the beginning of last week, I thought, we'll just make it. But then came in on Monday, and the power burnt out on the whole of the site. So, you know, Jacob's Well, the offices, all the whole place, no power. And so we got emergency electricians in. And, you know, the main switch had fused, and so it was back to the YB switches, and our electricians couldn't do it because it was these sealed things and whatever. And so, you know, it's just the way it goes, that just when you need it to be calm, it gets worse. And then, you know, I was going to Wix's to get some wood, as I've done. How many times have I been to Wix's in this building process? Probably sometimes 3 times a day, you know, over months. And so just this day, I went to Wix, got some wood, put it in my car, and it was a bit of a long piece of wood, put it in the car, shut the boot, and smash, goes the front windscreen. So, you know, what do you do when you have times like that? Well, what David did is he praised God, because God is on the throne. And none of these problems take God by surprise. You know, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for our life as a church. And if we stay in his will, troubles will come. Storms, wind and wave will come. But God is able to walk across the water. He's able to move mountains. And you'll always get to where you need to get. And I just had such a sense of peace over these last few weeks. I just knew that we'd make it. Probably because I've, you know, been through it so many times. And, you know, through the week, help has come. And I honestly think we will make it. We still have miracles to sort out, you know, through the next week. But I believe you'll come next Sunday and there'll be no rubbish outside. We might even have had time to paint what should be grass green. You know, we'll get some emulsion and paint the soil green so that it looks good. Because God is on the throne. And God never has a bad hair day. He never has a cooking catastrophe. He never gets his wires crossed or forgets an appointment. That which he plans will come about, and nothing can stop it. He's the Almighty God, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who was and is to come. And you know, there are just three things to understand, that if you really get this and really believe this, you will live in constant praise and worship and peace. And these are the three things. Number one, God loves me with a perfect love. He only wants what is good for me. Number two, God has all power. He can do whatever he wants and change every situation. Number three, God is in total control of my life. He knows everything that is happening to me. He's in control and he can change my circumstances whenever he wants to. You know those three things, you're sure about them, you believe them, then how can you be anxious? Because your life is in the hand of God and God loves you. He knows what is best for you better than you do. He can control every situation, even when the people around you that is out of your control, and maybe you could say even out of God's control, because other people have free will, they can go against God's will. You know, Saul was trying to kill this one that God had chosen to be his anointed. But somehow God is bigger than all of that. And he's able to use other people's wrong choices, even our own failures and weaknesses, to bring about good in our lives. It says this in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works together for good for those who love him. Isn't that a great verse? It doesn't say in some things God works for good, but in all things God works together for good. And so, you know, those three things: God loves me with a perfect love, God has all power, and God is in control of my life. Those three things, if you know those things and believe those things, you can walk through difficult situations. You can walk through financial lack. You can walk through pressure, sickness, even death, knowing that what is happening to you is for your good, because you have given your life into the hand of God, and no power on heaven, in heaven or on earth, can take you out of that place. When your life is in God's hands, what can separate you from the love of Christ? In verse 2, David said, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. The key is to put your life into the hand of God. God has a plan for your life. And God's plan for your life is better than your plan for your life. Believe me, it really is. You know, if God had answered all our stupid prayers, where would we be now? We'd probably be married to the wrong person, living in the wrong house with the wrong job and doing the wrong stuff. You know, somehow God filters out that which we think is the best for our life. You know, when we trust him and follow him, he can steer us, because he really knows us and he has a plan. It says in the Bible that before the beginning of time, God prepared good works for us that he planned in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. So when you're in Christ, you can't be in trouble, because Jesus isn't in trouble. Unless someone knows something I don't know. I don't think Jesus is in trouble. I think he overcame all the trouble and he's now seated at the right hand of God. So if you're in Christ, you can't be in trouble. Psalm 91 says this, if you dwell, you know, we talked about that, if you dwell in the Most High, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing will ever go wrong. It doesn't mean I won't break my windscreen or will not have crises here and there. But it means that as you walk through this broken, fallen world with its pain and its trouble and it's evil people, somehow God will be protecting you. He'll be around you. He'll be holding your hand. He'll be guiding you through it. He'll be providing so that you always will have enough. He'll be watching over you so that even when bad things happen to you, he'll turn them around for good in your life. And, you know, he'll take you through death to that wonderful place, being with him in heaven. If you're in Christ, you can never be in trouble. That's how David could write in Psalm 23 that you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. David was having a great time. He was singing and worshipping, being happy in the midst of this situation where people were trying to kill him. He had the most fruitful time of his life, probably, at that season. You know, he wrote the most bits that ended up in the Bible. When he was in that most difficult place, he learned more about God. He saw things that no one in history had seen before, that we wouldn't have apart from the revelation of God that came through David into the Bible. Safety is not found through having the right insurance or a great doctor or good circumstances, but safety comes from being in the center of God's will. Do you remember the old book Pilgrim's Progress? I'm sure many of us have read it, where Christian had to walk to, he was going to the eternal city, and he had to stay on the path. That was the most important thing that he was told, wasn't it? Because when you go off the path one way or the other, unexpected things could happen. And several times in the story, he went off the path. And every time he went off the path, difficult things happened to him. It's so important to do our best to follow God. You know, to read his word every day. Try and fill our minds with the word of God. Because if you don't, your thought patterns will be shaped by the society that we live in. You know, if you spend more time in Facebook and reading the disasters in the news and all of that, it's so easy for your mind to be shaped, for the negative things, for the fear to come in, the different morals. But as you read the word of God, as you get that inside you, you start to think in a different way. You start to behave in a different way. You treat people in a different way. And when you're walking down that path of God's will, and his will is in his word, somehow there's that protection, there's that blessing, that provision that comes all the time. David, because he was close to God, he knew that he could worship in every situation. And last week I quoted from this psalm, I quoted the verse where it says, "Wake up, harp, wake up, lyre, I will awaken the dawn." We don't always feel like worshiping and praising God, do we? And, you know, for many of us, the hardest battle to win is the battle of the blankets, isn't it? You know, the fight against the warm, comfortable bed and duvet. But if we can just somehow get out of bed so that we allow ourselves time in the morning before we do anything else, just to spend time with the Lord on our knees in his word and praying, things will go much better in our day. And David goes, "Awake my soul." Sometimes we have to stir ourselves up to praise God. We wake up, it's cold outside, we've got a difficult day ahead, we don't feel well, you know, we feel sick. There's one day this week I woke up and I just felt dreadful. My family had been down with flu, you know, and I just felt dreadful. And I woke up, so much to do, and it was raining out. I knew I had to stand outside. You know, I've literally been outside for 3 full days. The forecast was for rain, and it was like 2 degrees. I just said, "Praise God, you're with me. Hallelujah. You will give me strength." Do you know, by 9 o'clock, I actually felt absolutely fantastic. Because somehow, when you worship God, what happens is this. You exalt God to the highest place. You put him on the throne of your life. That enables God to be God in your life. You're giving value to him. I talked about that last week. You give value to him and to his power. And as you worship, that connects you to a supernatural flow that comes into your life, and then your life starts to be filled with the goodness of God. You start complaining. You start speaking out, oh, I feel dreadful today. I'm not going to manage today. I've got such a terrible day. It's so cold. With no money, and I can't do this. What happens? You're giving value to the negative things. Complaining is negative faith. Faith, what does it say in Hebrews 11? Faith obtains what is promised. Complaining loses what is promised. You complain and the promises that are there waiting for you to take a hold of, somehow they'll just slip away. You believe and start thanking God and worshipping for them, even though there's no sign that they're there in your life. What happens? They come into your life. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11 verse 1, the guarantee of things yet to be seen. And so in his situation, David exalted the Lord. You might say, why should I praise God in a bad situation? How can he possibly change anything? This is how it works, in my opinion. In the spiritual life, things don't happen until faith is joined to it. Jesus died for everybody's sin. But it doesn't become real for you until you believe it. You know, when you put your trust in God, when you see it, you believe it. Yes, Jesus, I see that you died for my sin. Then that becomes real in your life. It's the same with other things. Healing. I was, a young sick missionary in Pakistan. So sick, I thought I was going to die. I didn't believe in the healing of God. But then over a period of time, I started to see that God's word taught that God offers healing. When I believed in it, when there was that faith joined to the promise, it came into my life. And it's the same about God being king, God being God in your life. When you believe it, that he's there in every situation, those three things, he loves me, he's all powerful, my life is in his hands. You believe it, those things will start to come into your life. David was the man in history that transformed his whole nation. The Far East, from when he started to when he finished, when he was a young boy, the whole nation was in a place of poverty. It was in a place of defeat. The Philistines were coming in. They were so poor, there wasn't even a blacksmith in the whole country. So they had to go to get their plows and their sickles sharpened with the Philistines. And by the end of David's life, the nation was the biggest, the strongest, the richest, the most godly, the longest journey of transition in one lifetime. Why was that? It was because David, his first priority was to praise God, to worship. He wrote this in another psalm, Psalm 22, verse 3. God, you are holy. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. Another translation says that God inhabits the praises of his people. There's an old song we used to sing in the old days, Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you our king. Do you know that one? And as we worship, build a throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. As we worship, build a throne. There's something about worship that builds a throne for God in our life. In our church, that's why we give time and priority for worship. As you worship, because God is enthroned on the praises of his people. And David understood that in that place where he was running away from Saul, he had no power, he had no army, he had nothing. If he praised God, if he lifted up his heart and his thought to God, then God would be who he should be in his life. God would be who he should be in his circumstance. God would fulfill his purpose for him. And in the nation, You know, when he became king, instead of investing his time in building roads and army, he spent lots of time, and we won't look at that now, but lots of money building up the whole, preparing for the temple and the whole system of the Levites and the priests and the whole, worship that the Jews followed for hundreds of years afterwards. That came from David, because he realized that if you worship, everything else comes right. Because of the worship, God changed the nation. Because of the worship, God will change our church. Because of the worship, God will change your life. There's power in praise. I think I'll finish there. I've talked a long time, and it's about time to finish. But, it will work in your life. Because God is God. Your problem is not the biggest problem that God has ever had to face. If God can change David's situation, he can change your situation. He can change our situation. Praise the Lord. I looked at the bank balance in the church this morning to see how much was in it. It was over £3,000. Hallelujah. It's changed so much in about a week. I don't know how. I haven't looked at all the ins and the outs, but I just praise God for that. It still needs to be more. But God has helped us step by step. Since the day we started, we've never had to stop building because God has always provided. We just give him praise and glory. Amen. Let's just pray and then we'll finish. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you've helped us in this difficult situation around the building and the new chapter we believe that we will step into as a church. Lord, we thank you that you'll help us make it into next week. And we just pray you'd bless us next week as we have this opening with the mayor. Let that be wonderful. And Lord, would you use us as a church to do great things for you? I just pray for every person who's here this morning. Lord, if people have come with difficulties, with conflict in relationship, sickness perhaps in their bodies, financial pressure, Lord, we just say to you, be exalted in my life. We put our lives in your control. And we ask that you would be God to us. Be God to our families. Be God in our situation. In Jesus' name. Amen.